Pennsylvania, the Kleins, Jim, Laurie, and Matthew. You can take care of our preacher, but you can't steal him. We're glad he's out there giving with you folks today. Let's take our Bibles, turn to the Deuteronomy chapter 6. I hope your fingers are loose today, because there's going to be a lot of scripture read today, a lot of turning. Being different in a difficult world. Let's read Deuteronomy 6, starting verse number 1. Now these are the commandments and statutes and judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that you might do them in the land whither ye go to possess it, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee, thou and thy son and thy son's sons, all the days of thy life, that thy days may be prolonged. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee, in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. Jesus quoted that verse in Matthew 22:37. He said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. Verse 6, And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. What's a frontlet? I don't know. Best I can find out, it was something that they would wear on their hand or something they wore on their head, that they could put a verse out there, these verses and words that God had given them, and they could see them. Deuteronomy 11:18-19 says, therefore shall ye lay up these my words in your heart and in your soul, and bind them for a sign upon your hand, that they may be as frontlets between your eyes. And ye shall teach them your children, speaking of them when thou sittest down in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. A frontlet. It was there, placed there, that these words were to be always before them, so that they would be reminded of what God had said, and so that they would teach them to their children of what God said. They would have God's word before them when they lie down. They would be there when they rose up. It would be there when they're all through the day, that they could learn what God said. They would know what he was saying to them. Frontlets. Verse 9, and thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates, and it shall be, when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities which thou buildest not, and houses full of good things which thou fillest not, and wells digged which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees which thou plantest not, when thou shalt have eaten and be full, then beware lest thou forget the Lord which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God and serve him and swear and shall swear by his name. Ye shall not go after other gods of the gods of the people which are round about you. See, they're still in Egypt. They're seeing all these gods, and God's telling them, don't go follow those gods. Verse 15, for the Lord thy God is a jealous God among you, lest the anger of the Lord thy God be kindled against thee and destroy thee from off the face of the earth. You shall not tempt the Lord your God as you tempted him in Massah. You shall diligently keep the commandments of the Lord your God and his testimonies and his commandments, which I have commanded thee. God was telling them, I don't want you serving their gods. I don't want you living like they do. I don't want you looking like them. I don't want you acting like them. I want you to be different. If you listen to Brother Larry on the radio broadcast, he's been going through the book of Genesis. And right now, he's toward the end, and they've been talking about Joseph. Joseph, if you remember, he was he was the second to the youngest son of Jacob. His brothers did not like him. They were jealous of him. And they sold their brother Joseph into some Midianites who took him down into Egypt and sold him to Potiphar. They lied to their daddy. They said, we found his coat of many colors with the blood on it. Surely he has been slain by some beast. They lied to him. In time, the famine came and all the land, and Jacob sent his sons into Egypt to bring corn back so they could eat. They ran into Joseph there. They found out this man. Joseph didn't reveal himself. They didn't recognize him, but Joseph recognized all his brothers. At this time, Joseph is now the second in command in all the land of Egypt. They went back home, told their father what happened, and came and Jacob decided, we need more food again, so you need to go back. They made the second trip back. And at this trip, Joseph reveals himself to his brothers. They're shocked. So he tells them, go home, bring your father, bring everything, bring all your people, bring everything and come over here and I'll take care of you here in the land. So Joseph's brothers, now Scripture doesn't tell us everything. There are some things you just have to figure out for yourself. Joseph's brothers goes back home to Jacob, their daddy, and tells daddy, Joseph is alive. It's at this point they have to make a confession of what really happened to Joseph. All those years they've had that inside them hiding. But it came to the point they had to make confession. So all the family goes down to Egypt. They stay down there for 430 years in Egypt. The family grows from 70 or 75 people in the family to there's millions of them now in the land of Egypt. And they're wanting out. They've lived there for 430 years. They began to serve the same gods that the Egyptians served. They began to act like the Egyptians. They began to do the very same things that the Egyptians are doing. And now God is taking them out of Egypt. And they get into the wilderness. They end up staying 40 years in the wilderness. What God was doing was getting Egypt out of the children of Israel. Some of them had accomplished that. Some didn't. Some died in the wilderness because of rebellion. And all that rebellion goes back to how they lived in Egypt. He was trying to clean his people up and get the world out of Egypt. The reason they were to be, there's a reason why he was doing that. Now turn over to the book of Isaiah, chapter 49. Verses 5 and 6. Now here's why he wanted them to clean up. Verse 5. And now saith the Lord that formed thee from the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob again to him, though Israel be not gathered, yet shall I be glorious in the eyes of the Lord, and my God shall be my strength. Now notice this. And he said, It is a light thing that thou shouldest be my servant, to raise up the tribes of Jacob, and to restore the preserved of Israel. Now here's what he's doing. I will also give thee for a light to the Gentiles, that thou mayest be my salvation unto the ends of the earth. What he was doing, I want you to, we're going to get the world, we're going to get Egypt out of you, so you can be a testimony to the Gentiles of who I am. That's what God was doing with them. Because he wanted Israel to take God's message to the rest of the world. That's what he was doing with Israel. They were to take that gospel message, or the God's message, to the Gentiles. You see, all these pictures and principles that we find in the Old Testament are pictures of a New Testament truth. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 2. Hope you got your fingers ready. 1 Peter chapter 2. Look down at verse number 9. He said, Now remember, the New Testament is speaking to us, his people. Verse 9, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that thou shouldest show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness and into his glorious light. That word peculiar right there means acquisitioned. You've been purchased. Look down at, turn back to chapter 1, verse number 13. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind and be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust of your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because as it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Brother, I didn't tell Jeff. I said, I just went blank. I didn't tell Jeff I was going to have that verse in there, and here he was. We sang holy, holy, holy. Why? God wants his people holy. He calls us a peculiar people. He calls us a peculiar treasure. Now turn back to Titus. Chapter number 2, verse 13 and 14. Looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. That word peculiar here means being beyond usual. Not unusual, but being beyond the usual. So we're special. Turn back to Exodus, all the way back, chapter 19. Verse 4 and 5. Ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself. Now therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people. For all the earth is mine. That's a special jewel. That's what we are in the eyes of God. We're jewels. You see, in this word peculiar, not only is it in the New Testament, but it's in the Old Testament also. Deuteronomy, back to Deuteronomy chapter 14. Verse number 2, for thou art an holy people unto the Lord God, thy God, And the Lord hath chosen thee to be a peculiar people unto himself above all the nations that are upon the earth. Peculiar, proper, good, special. Deuteronomy 26. Verse 18 and 19. No, excuse me, verse 17 and 18. Thou hast avouched the Lord this day. That means to affirm. Thou hast avouched the Lord this day to be thy God and to walk in his ways. This is what God's people are saying about God. And to keep his statutes and his judgments and his commandments and to hearken unto his voice. Verse 18. And the Lord hath avouched. God himself has affirmed thee this day to be a peculiar people, as he hath promised thee, and that thou shouldest keep all his commandments. We're peculiar. And that word there means to shut up, not to close your mouth. It means you've been set aside. That's what it means right there. Psalms 135. For the Lord hath, verse number 4, for the Lord hath chosen Jacob unto himself and Israel for his peculiar people. Peculiar, we're special. He's chosen us. Turn over to 1 Corinthians. This is a verse not very well used very often. Chapter 6. Most preachers, they shy away from it, from these verses right here in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And also, there are some other verses they shy away from. Verse 15, know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of an harlot? God forbid. Now skip down to verse 19. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own. Ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. God has set us apart. He has set us aside for a special purpose. But what we find today in too many churches in the day and age in which we live, a lot of people want to straddle the fence. They want to have one foot in the world and one in foot for God. They're straddling the fence. So, here's what they're doing. I'm going to have one foot here for God, then I'm going to have one foot over here in the world. But you know what? It's hard to walk up here like this when you're straddling the fence. Isn't it? And if you're if a Christian, somebody that names the name of Christ, if they're straddling the fence, they're going to fall. Mark it down. You're going to fall here in the world. But it's going to affect your fall. You're going to fall here too, but it's going to affect you over here. Because see, a Christian's got a testimony. When they fall in the world, they lose their testimony over here. And it's no fun when the fall takes place. When you fall, you can get hurt real bad. It's no fun. But when you're walking over here, on the side over here, guess what? You keep your eyes over here, you're not going to fall over here. But if you're a fence straddler, you're going to fall. And it will affect your testimony. Turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Verse 14. He says, there be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Nobody wants to hear about that, and preachers don't want to preach about that right there because they're afraid they're going to offend somebody. But if we're going to be the light that God wants us to be, we're going to have to get off the fence. Well, what do we do, Brother Gary? I got 5 points and we're almost done. We're going to get out here early today. 1 Peter chapter 2. I think we read this earlier. Chapter 2, verse 12. Number 1. Have your conversation honest among the world. Verse 12. Having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Have an honest conversation. Number 2, verse number 2. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. Desire God's word to be in you. And listen, folks, if you're going to be the light that God wants you to be, you're going to have to be in God's word every day. Just like he told him over there in the book of Deuteronomy that you need to make frontlets in your eyes with God's word. It had to be before them every day. If they were going to be the light to the Gentile world, they had to have God's word before them every day. And if we're going to be the light to the world that needs to hear the gospel, we're going to have God's word in us every day. If we're going to live this book, we need to be in this book to know what it's saying. Number 3, 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 13. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind and be sober. And hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you in the revelation of Jesus Christ. Get control of your thought life. That's what he's telling them. Get control of your thought life. Number 4. 2 Peter. Chapter 3. Verse 10, but in the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Verse 11, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of person ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? We need to be holy in our manner of talk. Not only should our conversation be honest among the world, but our conversation should be godly in all manner, in all what we talk about. Conversation should match how we're living. Number 5. Surrender. Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. That word present means to yield. A living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's getting in God's word. That you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The word yield means to surrender. The word present means to surrender. Surrender is this. It's that you cease resistance to an enemy or an opponent and submit to their authority. Or, in this case here, you cease resistance to God's authority and submit ourselves unto Him. James 4:7 says, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Why? Because we have the gospel message that Jesus is the Savior of the world. Just as the children of Israel were to share the gospel message with the Gentiles, we are to share the gospel message with the entire world. And add prayer to that list of five that we just read. God wants his people different than the rest of the world. Because they out there are at stake. Their souls are at stake. And if we're going to have the testimony of Jesus Christ, we need to live right. We need to act right. We need to dress differently. We need to act differently. We need to be different than from what they are. So they can see the testimony that we have is real. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. Thank you for our people. Thank you for what you're doing in this place here and how you have used this place to do your work. Dear God, build a hedge about our people. Protect us and help us to yield every day of our life to you, to serve you. In Jesus' name, amen.